This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
We got LeBron, and he's got a problem. We have Isaiah Thomas, and he's got a problem. You have the Celtics, and their only problem is maybe losing to Golden State. And Golden State, they don't seem to have a damn problem at all. Talk about the NBA. We welcome in Jared Zwirling, Sports Illustrated NBA Insider, at Jared Zwirling on Twitter. Jared, thanks for joining us tonight.
Hey, thanks, too, man. Appreciate it.
What's going to get in the way of the Golden State Warriors this year?
I don't know too much, man. I mean, obviously, they're clicking on all cylinders, hitting threes. Steph Curry averaging 28 points right now. Just hitting, like I said, like the threes are hitting. Klay Thompson, best in the league in three-point percentage. You know, KD plays the five at times. They have so many unique lineups. They go positionless basketball. And then defensively, look at KD, for example, leading the league in block shots, actually second in the league under Kristaps Porzingis. So just, you know, their defense is really clicking too. I think everyone looks at their offense, but they're always in the tops in the league and also defensive efficiency as well. So that's a huge credit to what they do on both sides of the ball. So, you know, for what they do, plus home court advantage at Oracle, how exciting it is to play there, how hard it is to win there. You know, unless some injury happens, knock on wood, I just don't see it happening. You know, they've been together for a few years now. They have continuity. Steve Kerr is a great in-game adjustment coach, especially out of timeouts. They're very crafty. They're a smart team. They've been in the finals, you know, three out of the past 3 years. So, you know, what can you say about them?
When the league is so full of drama, Jared, and there's so many guys who get that disease of me that Pat Riley always screams about, how are they still so selfless after winning these titles and being the stature of what they are?
Well, I think a lot of it was really in the recruiting pitch for KD. I mean, KD came from Oklahoma City where he played a lot of isolation basketball, had the ball in his hands a lot. Comes into a situation where Steph Curry is the main point guard. The ball moves a lot. All five guys are great screeners. There's a lot of misdirection plays. All five guys touch the ball. So, you know, they buy into the culture there. You know, I know Steph Curry and KD are their main scorers. Klay's number three at around 20 points per game. But, you know, when you watch them play, they're always involved in every single half-court offensive set. That's what I love watching them play. It's not just, you know, a two-man game on the wing and other guys just watch. They're constantly moving. And even guys like Steph Curry, if you really watch him play, he is not only just moving up the ball, but he's setting screens. He's going up against big centers and putting his body in there. So they're all really focused on what they have to do. They're all trying to really play together. And defensively, like I said, they're always on the same page. You know, obviously because of their versatility, they can switch a lot and really lock in on that side of the ball. And because KD can play that five, it really gives them a lot of weapons where they can get quick defensive rebounds, push in transition, and get secondary fast break opportunities with trailing three-point shots. So they're able to mix it up really well. They're very well coached. And, you know, that culture really is all-team basketball, so it goes a long way. And that KD pitch to me was icing on the cake as to what they represent in Golden State.
So they've won two out of three right now. Does this thing have potential to be the next Bulls, or could they even be better than the Bulls?
Yeah, you know, they've really created this whole trickle-down effect in the NBA. Every team now wants to play like them. You know, every management team or every general manager, every management in the front office wants to build their rosters just like the Warriors, just to match up with these guys. Daryl Morey this year, the general manager of the Houston Rockets, came out and said, "We're specifically building our team to beat the Golden State Warriors." That's not just the Rockets. That's every team in the NBA. So, you know, like I said, if they stay together, I mean, Klay Thompson's maybe the one guy to see where he ends up, you know, depending on it, if he wants to get a bigger role, because he could be a number one option on basically every other team except the Warriors, depending on what he does. But if they stay together, I mean, like I said, they're a great team. They're all pretty young, you know, late 20s as far as their core goes. Their veteran guys are a little bit older, but not too old. You know, Sean Livingston, Iguodala, they're still, you know, in their prime right now or at the end of their prime. But they still have definitely three, four, or five more years of basketball. So, you know, if they stay together, that's what's going to happen. I mean, the NBA, you could say there's a lot more talent across the league. You know, a lot of younger stars coming up around 21, 22, 23 years old. But as far as a team goes with four All-Stars, I mean, think about that. I mean, every year now, there's one team in the NBA with four All-Stars. I mean, it goes to show you just how, you know, what they have. And it's just very hard to beat. They have 10 losses this year for a reason.
Jared Zwirling with us from SI. Who's coming out of the East to face them?
You know, I feel like the Cavaliers, you know, I know the Celtics are playing really well. I just think I look at a little bit of a couple things there that I'm concerned about. You know, first of all, Jason Tatum and Jaylen Brown, two very young players. They don't have a lot of playoff experience yet. You know, Jason Tatum wasn't even supposed to be the starting small forward. That was supposed to be Gordon Hayward's role. So, you know, I think they're a little bit undersized. I look at just the, you know, just the first year together. You know, they have only have four remaining players from last year. So, you know, I know they've been having a lot of success this year, but as far as playoff success, it's a whole different ballgame. I still like LeBron. I think he's the smartest player in the NBA. He knows every other team's scouting report. He knows, obviously, Kyrie Irving and how he plays. If there is a Eastern Conference Finals matchup between the Cavs and the Celtics, LeBron knows Kyrie and how he plays. And the Cavs have veteran leadership. You know, I think, you know, looking at the Cavs' struggles this year, I look at it mostly due to injuries. Tristan Thompson missed a good chunk of time with a left calf injury. And Mon Shumpert had a meniscus tear. Derrick Rose missed some time. You know, they've had injuries that really have inhibited what they can really do. And I'm really curious now, seeing Tristan Thompson at the starting center, how they can shore up their defensive lapses on that end. I did like what I saw the other night against the Pacers when they beat them. Also, offensively, I like what I saw in the first quarter. Offensively, I thought Tristan did a nice job with LeBron, a two-man game. I thought it created great spacing. And look, I think the Cavs have a lot of great shooters. That's really important to beat the Warriors. You have to be able to sustain and maintain that three-point shooting. And they have that. But defensively, we'll see. I just think they have the veteran leadership and the experience if they can finally make the stretch after the All-Star break with guys getting back after injury. So I still like their chances. I think they can do it with a few months more of basketball remaining in the regular season.
I was just told I have a crazy media bias because I didn't mention the Rockets. Is that true or false?
Oh, as far as where they can go?
Yes.
Well, you know, I think you got to give credit to what Chris Paul has done this year, playing alongside James Harden. You know, he's become really more of a two guard in many ways, hitting the three ball. They're getting better defensively. You know, they obviously have the offense to maintain to what the Warriors can do, but at the same time, they don't have a lot of great role players. I mean, they have some good role players, Eric Gordon, Clint Capella, but the Warriors have a lot better role players, and those role players are Klay Thompson, Draymond Green, Ja Livingston, Andre Iguodala, who have NBA Finals experience now with two rings. So that, I think, will win out. I do like the home court advantage, too, for the Warriors. The Rockets can get that number one seed, great, but if they don't get it and the Warriors have it, it's just very hard to win there. They had no, as the records have shown, teams don't get out of there with many very wins. So that's still my advantage with the Warriors.
Jared Zwirling joining us on the show from Sports Illustrated, NBA Insider for them. Did the Cavs have to trade Kyrie Irving?
Well, you know, I know he was. I know the story came out, which was a very weird story. I never heard that in my entire time covering the NBA. How a player threatens to get surgery mid-season and sit out.
Yeah, that was out there.
Clearly, he wanted to not be in Cleveland. You know, and it's been a great blessing in disguise for the Celtics because they loved Isaiah Thomas in Boston. I mean, he was an idol. They were gonna give him a whole, you know, a whole night for himself in his return February 11th with the video on the Jumbotron and, you know, making his return. So he was so beloved there. So Kyrie is really doing a tremendous job coming in. I didn't expect the Celtics to have that much success. But, you know, look, I think I don't know the exact reason why Kyrie wanted to go, but I could tell you just kind of getting to know him and people around him, Kyrie wanted to be his own guy. He wanted to be the number one option. It was LeBron's team. Kyrie really wanted to really emerge and lead a team on his own, see if he can actually beat LeBron and do it on his own. So I give him some credit. You know, I don't think this was a personal issue with the Cavs or LeBron. I mean, LeBron and Kyrie are not playing together on the same All-Star team. I'm sure we're going to see a lot of laughs, a lot of smiles. So I know they're going to be asked about the relationship, but I'm not expecting too much sour news there. But I think this has to do really with Kyrie being, or I should say, wanting to be a number one option, and he's getting what he wants.
Jared Zwirling joining us on the show. Now, Kyrie's 25. The Greek Freak is, what, 23? Antetokounmpo's 23, maybe just turned 23. You got a lot of younger guys here. LeBron will be 34 next year. Some of these younger guys, that next wave of NBA player, are they getting tired of LeBron? Or maybe I should put it this way. Do they just, and you just mentioned this with Kyrie, do they kind of just want to be their own man now and not play in the shadow of LeBron James?
Well, I think Kobe and LeBron have a lot in common. You know, when Kobe played in the NBA, a lot of guys looked up to Kobe for advice. You know, Kobe developed a lot of relationships off the court, and a lot of guys would text Kobe for advice. And LeBron is basically what Kobe was, you know, for 20 years, but now it's LeBron. I mean, a lot of players, as much as they want to beat him, they still look up to LeBron with, you know, especially in an All-Star setting. That's the time where guys want to pick the brains of the best players in the league, and LeBron is the best. So when you're in the same locker room with him, you want to ask him about strategy and opponent scouting reports and, you know, certain moves, tricks, and tactics. So, yeah, I mean, as far as getting tired of it, I mean, obviously they want to beat him, but he's the Michael Jordan of the 1990s, of this era. You know, you have to get through LeBron to get to the finals, and that's obviously still impossible because LeBron's still playing some of his best basketball. You know, midway through this year, his points and all his numbers were basically the best in 10 years since 2007, 2008. So really looking great, and obviously the rest of the team has not gone up to par defensively and with their winning ways, but, you know, he still is the guy that you want to look up to, you want to admire, you want to pick his brain. And, you know, like you said, he's, you know, mid-30s now, so how much more does he have at this level? Clearly, the younger guys coming up, you know, they're still young. Their teams are not really, you know, they don't have that continuity yet. They haven't been together for many years. There's only a few teams in the league with success that really have been together for a few years. That's the Rockets. That's the Warriors. That's the Cavs. Even the Celtics, like I said, they have four guys really returning from last year. So there's not a lot of teams in the NBA that really have a lot of continuity. And that's because every team wants to be like the Warriors. So a lot of general managers in the last 2 years, they've really rejiggered their rosters a lot to bring in a lot of new faces to try to see if they can compete with the Warriors. So that's really an interesting, I think, thing in the NBA that people don't really talk about is how much turnover there's been with rosters. So as much as you want to try to beat LeBron, it's going to take some time. It's going to take some time for that to happen for many teams.
Jared Swerling joining us on the show. They will put the All-Star Draft on TV next year, won't they?
Man, I hope so, right, Sue? I mean, everybody wants to see that. Apparently, it was fun. LeBron and I watched the media interview with LeBron and Steph and Ernie Johnson, and they were just, you know, talking about how much fun it was, how much laughs they were having, and they were talking trash and all that stuff. So, I why not, right? I mean, the players at the end of the day, they're going to know where they're going to get picked anyways, right? Kevin Love was joking, I probably was picked last, and Giannis was saying I was probably picked second after KD. I mean, everyone kind of knows where they're picked anyways, right? Let's see it live. I mean, so I think, look, at the end of the day, the NBA is such a great marketing tool when it comes to pre-hype or hype before events. You know, I think the All-Star game, for example, is still going to be kind of the same. It's not going to be a lot of defense, right? It's going to still be a lot of just chuck shots and dunks, and you're not going to see a lot of defense. It's going to maybe feel boring at times. But what's really amazing about this whole spectacle, so to speak, is everything before the All-Star game, the draft, where players are being selected. So the media loves it. We talk about it, too, on the show. So, you know, at the worst case, man, like let's televise, let's have some fun. And then once the All-Star game comes, even if we don't enjoy the game, at least we enjoyed everything leading up to it, right?
I agree. Jared, we thank you very much for the time, my friend. All the best and hope to talk to you again soon.
I appreciate it, man. Thanks, man.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.